Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I bless Your name. As I'm taking this opportunity to share about Your heart, of who You are and who He is, You. How great You are, Lord. Lord, I ask You to use my tongue, speak Your word. Open our hearts to receive Your word. Teach us, Lord, in any way that where we're lacking You, Lord, that we will hear You, what You're saying and what Your spirit is saying. Thank You that You're teaching us today Your heart, the Father heart of God, and how You're so pleased with us, and how You created us. And we thank You that in all creation, everything that You created before You created a human, You didn't create them in Your own image, but You said, let's create a man in our own image. And in the image of God, You created us. And here we exist, and You didn't stop on that. But also You gave us chance also to create with You. And You said, Adam, name all the animals. The animals we know, He named them. You wanted to Him to get the opportunity and create with You. We are co-workers with You, Christ. And You didn't stop on that. You came also and lived among us. Because You wanted us to learn from You. And just to know Your heart and who You are. And You showed them love on the earth. And You died for us. So thank You. I can't thank You enough, Lord. And I can't thank You enough for the opportunity You have given to me. Just to know that I am a child of God. And that I can speak of Your goodness. And so, Lord, I ask You that please speak to us. In Jesus' name. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. You know why I'm overwhelmed? I'm overwhelmed because I'm so excited. I love talking about God, but also I'm nervous. And also, I'm sad. You know why I'm nervous? I'm nervous because I'm talking to the smart people like you. You know everything. That's why I'm nervous. So what should I say? What should I do? And I'm so sad that you all know Christ. Like, no one is going to get saved. What a boring church. Well, I believe that God has something for us today, isn't it? Just to encourage us and breathe in and out. So I'm going to talk the Father heart of God. I like moving. This thing is controlling my life. But one day I was just meditating on the goodness of God and how much He has forgiven me and how much He has done in my life. Step after step, and I'm looking behind, like back, and just on and on to me, like my family and my friends and things He has done for me. And I was like, wow, You're so big. Like, I can't even measure You. Like, even my heart, I think I know You, but I don't know You enough. Because every time, every day, every month, every year, You just surprised me. You just surprised me with Your goodness, with Your faithfulness. And I was just overwhelmed. That's when I'm talking about it, I just feel like He's so big. Like, you can't measure Him. He's not limited. And so I was just there and rocking in the chair and the kids are playing, and after my devotions, it was so quiet, and I think that's a month ago, and I just say, oh, let me get my phone, and I look, and so I scroll and went to the internet, and on Facebook, there was this lady, she have shared the Father heart of God, and exactly that's what I was thinking, and so I went on the internet to look, search for it, and I found it, and she have wrote these beautiful things about Father heart of God, and I was like, wow. So then when he asked me to, he said, oh, Wendy is asking if you want to share. I mean, if one of us wants to share, I said, oh yeah, I have something to share. I'm in Fire Lake. I have something to share. And it was Father Heart of God. And I said, I found it and I read it for him. He doesn't remember, but he was laying on the bed and I was sitting on the rocking chair. And I said to him, oh, this is what I found. And I read it to him. And there were like 27 Father Heart of Prayer, Father Heart of God, and with scriptures. And so then after that, I looked 3 days ago. Mom, remember, I came to the shop and I looked. I wanted to print those papers out. I could not find it. And I was like, I want the people to know this, because it was so nice. And I could not find it. And I asked Dan, I said, oh, do you remember? I said to him, remember, I told you about, I read this and I wanted to share it and I could not find it. I said, remember, I read it to you? He said, huh? I don't know. I'm like, really? I read it to you. And he said, I don't know. I'm like, where is your brain? But as I was looking, it's like God was saying to me, for how she wrote her things of how she thinks of me, what about you? Because before I went to bed, I prayed. I said, please, Lord, it's just, you know, you bring people in our lives to encourage us, to help us. And I was just saying to him, I said, I want you I want to wake up in the morning. And I go to my phone and I found it right there. I don't want all these things because people, they have ideas. And even there is one Father Heart of God thing, the topic. And I said, I want that one. I wanted the one that I saw. And I said, if you really want me to share it, just put it there for me. And if you don't want me to share it, just don't put it, it's okay. And as he was whispering to me as I'm falling asleep, he was like, what do you think of me? What about you? Which stories can you talk about me? Like, what have I done for you? And that's your story. These people wrote their story about me. I want you to write my story about how you know about me as your father. I was like, woo, woo. I said, maybe this is my mind. This is not God. God is a voice. So I said, I'm like, I'm going to dream it because I'm a dreamer. But I woke up and no, nothing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk about my God because I know him. And I know and I'm learning from him. So good news is that God has taught me his heart. Bad news, I lost the other one for the other person. But it was beautiful, but I'm going to talk about how I know God. So our God is compassionate. My God is compassionate, loving, gentle, but also he's faithful, gives, but he's faithful and he forgives. And I want to read Dan was reading Psalms 139. I'm going to just read. He read all the chapter, I think. Yes, but I'm going to read those two verses. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days are ordained for me, were written in your book, before one of them came to be. So, he was just telling me, like, you know, before your mom even knew you, I knew you. I formed your body. Like, I'm the second born. But my mom, she didn't know she was going to have the baby girl. And so those times, these days, you can just know what you're going to have if you want to know. But God, he knew that I was going to exist. And so he informed me, and he put me in my mama's womb. And I came out, and my mom, she was like, oh, I got a girl. And he didn't stop on that. But he knows even my thought. He searches my heart. Even David says, Lord, you search my heart, and you know. You know my thoughts. You know me very well. He knows his being. And that's how I feel it. God knows all of us. And I love the stories of Jesus. Jesus, he shows the heart of God by coming on earth and living on us with the love of Christ, with the love of God. God wrapped himself in human flesh. He was compassionate. Jesus, we see him eating with sinners, healing on Sabbath day. He was like he didn't even follow the rules of the Jewish, how they used to do. Like, he was not supposed to be doing anything on Sabbath. But because he was so compassionate, he broke the rule. But anyways, he wanted to show compassion that this person is actually valuable to God. It's not about just keeping on the day and letting the person dying or letting the... Even he gave example. If one of... Who can remind me? Which example did he give? When they were so angry that he healed on Sabbath. Yeah, he gave them that example. Will you leave it there? And they could not have leave it. They can't leave it because he knew that they love their animals. So what about this poor man? Like, what about this person? Because he knows his love as a father is so big. And so he healed, even on the Sabbath day, talking to the Samaritan woman on the well. It was against the culture. Jews could not talk to the Samaritan because they were like so small to them. They were like, their shoes even were better than them. But Jesus, he went and he said, I don't care. I created this woman. I created Samaritan. I created Canadians. I created Americans. I created Africans. I created Indians. I can talk to anybody because I created them. You know, like, that's how I see him, because he created all of us. And so he has a love that he can talk to anybody. So, and also I see him like on the cross. Do you know what he said? The beautiful thing I love. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's like when Jody does something or Nate does something. Sometimes, you know, the kids, they do crazy things. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. And even when you disband them, they're like, and they can do it again, because they're not getting it. And then after they're growing, they're like, why did I used to do that? You know? Like, why did I? And even you hear some kids, even us, we're like, why did I do that? Because you didn't know what you were doing wrong. But also Jesus knew his children were doing what they didn't know. That they were doing wrong. They thought they were obeying the rules and trying to please God and to remove this person who's trying to be like God. But they didn't know that was God. And so we do things, but he still says, I forgive you because I'm your father. You are my child. And that's how forgiveness comes from, because his heart is heart of love and his heart of compassion. I was just thinking how the world confuses us and tells us how much we are not enough. He tells us, and God says that, this is David actually saying, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it. I know that fully well. He came to that moment of knowing how God created him, how he's so fearfully and wonderfully made. But you know what the world does to us? The world says, you're not enough. It's against God's plan. He wants to discourage you and say, you know what? You're not enough, and you'll never be going enough. You're not going to be ever enough. The world tells us that. It tells us that when you're small, you want to be big. You say, because small is not enough for you. That's my culture. You come to Canada and tells you, oh, actually you're ugly because you're big. You should be small. You cut your hair and it's short. And then the enemy says, you look ugly. You should have long hair. And then you chase after the long hair. And then you're short and you say, I wish I was made taller. And then you're tall and you say, oh, I wish I was a little bit shorter, because now it's so hard for me to find pants that fits me, because they reach here and then they don't pull the zip. That's the word tells you. is the word cannot satisfy. I never give you enough. To never. And tells you like, oh, the girls, sorry, your boobs are not big. You should add a little bit. And those who are big, what should I do with these things? Like, I'm serious. You go to Africa, your bum is big. It's nice, beautiful. You come here, you don't want a big bum because no one cares about it. I'm serious. It's never enough. It's never enough. You have small kids, you want a big house. I mean, you have kids, you want a big house because you want them to be free and run around. And you just, I wish I can get a big place. You get a big place and your kids lives. Oh, no, you want a condo. I want a small house because it's so big to climb up and go down and I just want one floor. The world cannot satisfy us. It tells us that we are not enough. But God's heart says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know all of you. I have formed you. And he says, you know what? He says, I am the Lord of all mankind in Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? He wants us to trust him. He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to know that he created us and he can take care of us and he can satisfy us. Because he says, even before you ask, your father knows. Before we speak a word, he knows our thoughts. And it says that, it say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, it says, for your father know what you need before even you ask him. But you know what? The word tells you, okay, the place is dry. So much dust. Oh, give us rain. God gives you rain. So much mud. Then the sun comes and the mud dissolves. And then snow comes after that. Or maybe fall. Now I definitely talk about because I'm in Canada. The leaves, so much leaves. And then you have to rake them. Then your arms hurts. But you love fall. But you don't want what fall comes with. Does that make sense? And then you get winter. And winter comes with ice, with cold, with shoveling the snow. I don't shovel the snow. Dan does that. And it comes with all that. But still, you're not satisfied because the world does not satisfy you. Just tells you. That's the enemy. That's how it's driving so many people over the world. It says, you're a woman. You're not supposed to be a woman. You're supposed to be a man. You're a man. You're supposed to be a woman. He's just against because he came to kill, to destroy, to steal and destroy. That's his job. We have to know that. We have to know that God came to give us life and life in full. And the world does not give peace, but peace comes from the Lord. His only peace can satisfy us. We have to keep reminding ourselves how good Father he is. He cares about us. He doesn't want us to even to worry. He said, do not worry about anything. Do not worry. He says, look at the birds of the air. He feeds them. He gives them in the food in the proper time. He feeds his creation in proper time. I was looking at the tree in the front of our house. I'm looking at the leaves, they are all gone. And it looks so dead and dry. And we were walking one day with Alan. I said, my favorite actual season is spring. God puts so much in the tree and puts it down and keeps it warm down so that in the spring will come to life again. Those who are in Christ Jesus are new creation. The old has come, the old is gone and the new has come. And that's why I love spring. And when I look at that tree and I'm like, how can I be not satisfied? In spring is going to come up. God is going to feed it and just put more power and then brings the leaves. And the birds outside, they are cold, but he gives them food. I wonder where the birds get their food because usually they eat insects. But he put there, they don't die. You don't find in the snow like dead bird unless in the spring when they're trying to fly the baby ones or whatever. I don't know. I don't know when they give birth. But seriously, that's how God big he is. And I was thinking also like how the enemy tells us that we should not wait on the Lord. we shouldn't not be patient. Because, you know, like Jody says, "Mama, give me candy." I'm teaching him how to be patient. He said, "Mama, give me candy." I'm like, you have not eaten any lunch. You have to eat your lunch first. And he said, "But Mama, I want a candy. How come I can't have it?" I said, "Well, you can't have it because it's going to kill your appetite." And I say, "You eat your lunch and you have your candy. But if Jody keeps bothering, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm not going to give him a candy. I'm going to put the food there and he eats. And then later when I know it suits him, I give him a candy. Because my answer is wait. My answer is be patient. And my answer is that I will or maybe I may not. Because I know what is good for you. I know if he eats a muffin, he will not eat his lunch. He will play with the food because I just gave him muffin 30 minutes ago. Then you expect him to eat? Come on, mama." Well, all of you, your kids have grown, so I'm talking to the wrong choir here. I think I'm talking to myself. But seriously, that's how God he is. We doubt him because he delays. We doubt him. It's like you're asking for him to do something for you. And then you're like, then it's taking long. I'm like, okay, I can do it myself. I think it's a good plan. And then you start doing it. Like, for example, in Africa, somebody will see somebody driving. And maybe, and he say, "Oh, go ahead, give me a car, give me a car, give me a car." And somehow he can give them a car. It doesn't, he say, "No, you don't need a car. It doesn't suit you. You can't afford the fuel. Yes, you can sell your cows and buy a cow. I mean, buy a car. But how are you going to put the fuel?" And people, they don't want to see that. And they're like, "No, I want a car, I want a car, I want a car." And so he say, "Well, let me just do it myself." And they wait just for a short time, and somebody buys a car. Maybe sells 5 cows or 6 cows, I don't know how much it costs these days, and buys a car. And after buying a car, drives, you know, money for fuel. Because you're not going to be selling cows to buy fuel. That's really dumb. Like, you can't, otherwise you're going to end up with no cows because the car does not make more money. It takes money, and cows are keep going because you didn't budget it well, and God is saying, "It doesn't suit you this time. I know when it suits you." And then you hear them saying, "Oh, I bought this," and they say, "Oh, Mr. Samuel, why are you not driving your car?" I say, "Well, it's taking so much fuel. It's in the garage. It's just sitting there." "Oh, where did you buy?" And then they start mocking you, like, "You didn't know what you're doing." If he didn't know that he was going not 40, why did he buy it? Like, they talk. Like, seriously, but why am I saying that? Is that we're not patient with God. We want to go and do it. And he says, "I know what is good for you." And we say, "No, you can't say no to us." But he can, because he knows what is good for us. And he can say yes, because he knows it suits us in proper time. But also he can say wait, because he knows when is the time for you to get that. And that's why when we go ahead before the Lord, before our Father, we go ahead and we act and leave him behind. That's why we stumble and get broken hearts. But he is a good Father. He forgives sins and heals your disease, as he said. He's great God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. That's a good Father. He shows love 1,000 generations. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. To those who keeps his commandments and to those who loves him. Isaiah 1, 18. He says, "Come, let us settle the matter through your sins. Let us settle your matter, though your sins are like scarlet. They shall be as white as snow," because he is a Father who forgives. He doesn't care what the world tells you, but he tells you that he cares, he knows you, and you should trust him. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And in Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I am he who brought out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. When he blesses you, he doesn't look back. He doesn't see what you have done. He forgives completely. He doesn't remind you of what you have done. But the enemy keeps reminding you, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, remember this, remember that, remember that, remember. And all you, at the end of the day, you're just crazy, judging yourself and being so anxious, and you're not enough because the enemy, what is all feeding you in your spirit, your kids are not going to be great, your kids are going wrong way. It just, stop him. I stop him. He told me how the devil was telling me how I'm not supposed to be in here. I'm not supposed to be in this community. And when I woke up, I said, God brought me here for the purpose. And I am going to be here. You don't tell me what to do. And every time he kind of stomps on my head and tells me how good I'm not, and how I'm not good enough, how I'm not supposed to be here, how I'm not worth it or whatever, and my family, and how Dan is so good to me, even having kids, my pregnancies are so bad. But I say, God knew my destiny. He formed me. He knew before I was born. He knew that this is what was going to happen. This is just small challenges, but God is beyond. And so I want you to remind him, the enemy, that he should get out of your life, and that God, he's in control, because he knew you. He said to Jeremiah, I knew you before even you and your mother's womb. He knows us. So don't let the enemy lies you. Don't let him lie you that you are not good enough, because your father says you're good. Either you're big or small or short or tall or rich or poor or have what, but God, he is well pleased with you. So don't let the enemy just put all this rubbish in your head, because he does not have any authority over you. Authority on heaven and earth has been given to us. He said, therefore go. And if we're the children of God, we should stand in the power, because the demons can fear us. The devil even shakes. Jesus lives inside of us, inside in us. And because he loves us as a father. And he says that, just come. Come, come, we said the matter. Come the way you are in Matthew. Just come the way you are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter which tribe. It doesn't matter which family. Doesn't matter which name of your family. Just come the way you are. I remember the story of, when you think about God, it's so scary, you know, like he's big and power and mighty. And then you wait his voice. Maybe it's going to be like a thunder and whatever. If you remember the story of Elijah waiting for God. How did God come? Just small, a whisper. They thought he was going to come in power. But he's gentle, because he doesn't want to scare his kids. Like, if you come in your bedroom of, like, Kathy, if you go to Eva's bedroom, Eva, come over here. She'll be like, oh, I'm in trouble. What did I do? But you say, hey, honey, sweetie, are you there? Can I talk to you, please? So I sound like Kathy, isn't it? Can I talk to you, honey? But if she comes and she said, Eva, come over here, I want to talk to you. Eva, she would be scared. But Kathy, she doesn't want to do that, because she wants Eva to come and yeah, but if God is, even how we talk to Samuel, he just called Samuel. That's how God is. He talks with love. And I always ask God, Lord, help me not to yell, because I'm feeling so ugly and so bad. I just don't want to yell. There is those moments where you just want to shout and yell at your kid. But after doing it, you feel bad, isn't it? You say, I wish I didn't do it. And I have said that many times. But God is teaching me that he's just so gentle. I should learn from him, because he's gentle. He's compassionate. He has love. And so I remember that my president came. He was driving to his daddy's land. I'm besting on this, come the way you are in Matthew. And so my mom was sitting. We used to have a restaurant near the road. So like if you're in the car, you just see, you know, those shops that are near the road. So my mom, she was sitting in her chair, and she used to make the milk pot lids. I have one. I was supposed to bring one, but I forgot. My brain is not working these days. But she used to make those. and she would sell them. So one day she was just sewing and making one, and president passed. As he was passing, he came back. He usually goes with like 12 cars, but when he goes to his daddy's land, he goes with like 4 escort cars, like the cars. Am I saying it well? Cars. So then he drove and he backed behind. He went and he backed. He came. The cars stopped. And my mom was like, oh, president's stopping. He came out of the car. He came and said, hey, how are you? And he's a big man. And my mom was like, what is he going to do? And he said they had a small conversation. What are you doing? I have a restaurant. And he said, yeah, where's your cows? Like, because he loves cows. It's traditional. And my mom said, oh, they are over there. And because we didn't have many cows, we have like those days, we have like 15 cows. And so, but they were those big long horns. So Seven said, oh, you know, I was going to my daddy's land. Let me drive there and I come and stop here. I want to see your cows. And so he went and he came back, and my mom was trying to dress up, and oh, she's going to go and present this car. And so she started to dress up and put a new dress. And Seven came and said, oh, you changed. I said, yeah, I'm going to your car. Like, in her mind, what do you think? You're president. But Seven was like, no, you didn't have to change. You just, the wife and you, it's okay. You could have come like that. You don't have to be fancy to be like to talk to me. And that's how it feels. Like, sometimes we feel like because God is so holy, we're just so terrified. And the enemy tells us, oh, you're so wrong. Your God is not happy with you because God, your God, don't you think your God is holy? You know, the enemy knows the scriptures. He knows things, how to treat you. And he shows you actually this is the truth. And then we get so much terrified. And we forgot our God is loving. And we don't have to do much. We just have to come with all your heart, all our hearts. Like, just like when Samuel was going to anoint David, Samuel thought they were going to be like big men or like, but he said, no, not that one. All the brothers, he went through all of them. Just David, a little David came. And he said, yeah, because he does not look at the appearance. He looks inside your heart, and that's what he wants. But the world says, no, that's not what he wants. He wants you to be this. He wants you to have that. He wants you to do this. But God says, no, I want your heart. Just come the way you are. So anyways, President, my mom, let me finish the story. I think you're enjoying it. No, I'm joking. My mom went in the car, and then they went to the cows, and they looked. And I'm saying, oh, you got really small cows. My mom said, yeah. I said, how come you have only the local ones? My mom said, yeah, we have the local ones because we can't afford to buy big ones. I mean, like the Fijian ones. Those days, the Fijian cows came and they were milking, like they were getting like 10 liters, 8 liters. Now they get 20 liters in one cow. And so Seven said, oh, I think I should give you cows. I should give you some to start with. My mom could not believe it. Because it was just the day, you know, when the day of salvation comes, you're like, I can't believe I'm saved right now, you know, like, so he put her in the car, and so my mom come said, let me go and tell my husband, say, where I'm going, and so my brother was there, like, he was young, that was like 2000, I think, I was maybe like 11 or something, and my brother is in his big shirt. There is no this small pants. I'm Seven talking to him, and my brother's like rocking, like looking down and writing. And he said, oh, what's wrong with you, boy? Like, you want vision cows? He said, you don't want vision cows? And my brother said, oh, I don't know them. And so, anyways, I'm Seven say, go and tell your dad that your mom, she's taken by the president. When my brother came running to tell my dad was like, what did she do? Like, what did she do? Everyone was so scared. And anyways, that day, Masevin brought, he didn't bring her back, but another person brought, like another cow brought her back, and she came with money to buy the cows. She saw present cows, whatever, and so she liked them, and she, so Masevin gave her to buy 5 cows, Ephesian cows. So that was the first time we got Ephesian cows. But in, don't tell anybody, because they may go and kill my parents when to get their no money. Don't tell people home that I'm 7, talk to my mom. But anyways, right now, the Ephesian cows are worthless. They removed so much longhorn cows because they didn't have so much milk. So they removed them, and the people started buying those Ephesian cows. And so then now, Ephesian cows, they get so sick. When they get sick, they die like in a second. And they, to buy their medicine is very expensive because they were not supposed to be in our country. They didn't belong there. But everybody got crazy. Those who enjoyed them when the first time, we enjoyed them. But right now you're like, oh, where's my longhorn cows? And now to buy longhorn cows is very expensive. 5 Ephesian cows buys like just the baby cow. That is local. But that's the world. It never satisfies. It never satisfies. Oh, get this one. Oh, you don't want this one, get this one. And then you get that one, then you're not satisfied with that. Then you want that one, and then you get all crazy. End of the day, you're like, no, I want a big cow. I want a big car, because the car, it will be good for me. You get a big car and takes so much fuel. Like I went with Penny, we almost got stuck in the way. We went to Beachy. I was driving her. She gave me a chance to drive her because I'm on my learner's license. And so they didn't check the fuel. And I was like, because we're used to the small car, and doesn't take so much fuel, and now we graduated to the big car, and takes fuel like seconds. And so I look, I'm like, oh, Penny, it's going down. I thought that Dad felt this thing the other day. Well, but we made it home. You get a big car, it takes so much. You get a small car, it's not enough for you. You get a big house, you get a small house, then it's really big, it's small for you. You get a big house, and then it's big for you. Then you go back to the small house, and it just gets crazy. It's just crazy. But God says, what he needs is your heart. As a father, is your heart. And he say, I love, I give love. And that's what he wants. He wants us to know that he loves us and we should trust him. Praise God. Yes. Well, as I'm coming to the end, I want you to listen. I'm going to read for you this. This is the father writing to his child, his daughter and his son. And that's you and that's me. And this is God talking to you. These are all scriptures. They are all scriptures. Every line is a scripture. But if you want this, I will give it. You tell me. We just print them out. If you like them, if you don't like them, that's okay. But you don't have a choice. You're going to listen. To my beloved child, you are my. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hair on your head are numbered. For you are made in my image. In me you live and move and have being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You are not mistaken. For your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and when you would leave. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day of your born. I have been misinterpreted by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Very good gift that you receive comes from my hand. No, sorry. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plan for you, for your future, has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand of the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. Amen. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasure possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will weep every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love. Sorry. Of my love for you. I gave you everything. I loved you that I may gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son, Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate us from my love again. Come home, and I will throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Those are all scriptures. Those are powerful words. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being good, Father. Thank you so much that your ways are bigger than ours. You formed us, and you say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You love us with an everlasting love. Thank you. Thank you for being good, Dad. Even you discipline us because you love us. You don't want us to go astray, but you want to make our path right, that we will not be taken away by the winds of the world, or the enemy, but we will be close to your heart because you don't want to let us go, and that's why you came. Even after sinning and breaking your heart, but still you say, it's okay. Here, I can die for you. I can save you. So, Lord, we ask you that help us, not to deceive us. That even when he comes, the enemy comes with those words and those thoughts and bad thoughts and telling us how we are not enough and why we don't get enough and why we always want. Remind us of who you are. And that you are the God of all mankind, and is there anything too hard for you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.